Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about them. They're going to play a football game tomorrow. They're going to play a tackle football game tomorrow. It will be broadcast on Fox. You will turn the mute button. No, you hit the mute button, turn the sound down because they're flying in Dick Stockton. You will turn on WBBM AM and FM, 780 AM, 105.9 FM. You will hear our Mark Grody, our Saturday Suckage Mark Grody, on that show. He's on this show. He's on all the shows because he's Mark Grody. And we will talk about it now as we go to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And we welcome in from Bear Report on CBS Sports, Aaron Lemming. Aaron, thanks for taking time today. We appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Mark, I also appreciate that introduction on Twitter. That was, I think you nailed that pretty well.
Yes, I said that you are a Detroit Lions antagonizer. So that said, tell us what's going on, your relationship with you, Aaron Lemming, and the Detroit Lions Nation, apparently.
Hey, it's all in good fun. You know, it's just one of those things over the years. Maybe being a White Sox fan growing up and having all those stats over the years, you know, with the old Detroit Tigers and the White Sox just kind of fueled me a little bit, but I don't know, it's just all good fun, you know. Especially with Lions fans, it's such low-hanging fruit and it's such an easy target, and usually, you know, it's very easy to get it riled up, and why not, especially for week one? I mean, it's kind of like I told everybody, it's all in good fun. I mean, the biggest thing is, especially the way 2020 started out, I mean, the fact that we're even able to talk about a game that's going to happen tomorrow is fantastic in its own.
We were marveling over that. I thought every sport would start. I just didn't think any of them would finish. And we're seeing a finish line in the NFL, NBA bubble, NHL bubble. The outdoor sports that all spread out in a regular season, baseball seems to be managing through and finding a way to just force itself. The NFL has played a football game, and they're going to play one tomorrow. What do you expect? We saw two good teams play, the defending champs, the Chiefs, and in the Mitch Trubisky Bowl, the two quarterbacks, and then the Texans are good despite Bill O'Brien. What is it you expect to see tomorrow with the Lions and Bears?
Well, I think it's going to be probably a sloppy game. I mean, even looking at the Texans and the Chiefs, I mean, it wasn't exactly the best game. I thought Deshaun Watson had quite a few issues, and there was even at times Patrick Mahomes didn't look quite as good as he normally does. And I think, especially going into week one as a whole, I mean, you look around the league and it's usually going to be sloppy. And obviously with no preseason and essentially 4 weeks of practice for all these teams, it's probably not going to be a very pretty product, especially when you're talking the Bears and the Lions. I mean, you got two teams where the two head coaches, since they've taken over 2 years ago, haven't won a week one game. And, I mean, even going back to last year when you look at the Lions, obviously we know how the Bears have looked in those two week one games. But when you look at the Lions last year, I mean, they were blowing out Arizona, gave up the lead and ended up, you know, ending in a tie. So I think it's one of those situations, especially for those two teams, where neither one of them has really shown that they can come out and play a full four quarters. I mean, we saw that in 2018 with the Bears and Matt Nagy's first year. So I'm expecting a somewhat sloppy game just because of the nature of how this has all come about. But it's going to be very interesting to see how prepared the Bears especially come out, because obviously, I mean, there's been all sorts of controversy with the quarterback situation. There's brand new coaches on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, there's a lot, especially on the offensive side, which is where the Bears really needed to improve, that we don't know much about right now.
We're talking with Aaron Lemming. I write Bear Report for CBS Sports. And one of the things that should have gotten Matt Patricia fired is that he made Mitch Trubisky look like a legend with a 106.3 passer rating. And a lot of it was insisting on playing man defense. And playing man defense and instead of zone, where Trubisky, his own coach says he's got to become a master of all coverages, and clearly he's not. So the new defensive coordinator in Detroit, does he change what Matt Patricia has stubbornly stuck to? Does that make a difference with that Detroit team? Do you think Mitch Trubisky found his Huckleberry, and that's the way it's going to go with Mitch Trubisky in Detroit for the rest of his life?
Well, I think much like the Bears offense, right? I mean, it's kind of the same concept with Matt Nagy, and, you know, you bring in a new offensive coordinator. I don't expect a lot to change on the offensive side of the ball for the Bears. And I think it's kind of that same way with Matt Patricia and new defensive coaches in Detroit. I think you're really looking at a situation, I think you kind of nailed it. I mean, the biggest thing with Trubisky, when you look at where he has struggled and where he has succeeded, a lot of it comes from the different coverages. And he's just simply been better against man coverages. And I think, too, when you really look at the defensive side of the ball and what Detroit has, I mean, they're lacking a pass rush. And I think that's going to be a big thing. You know, Flowers is a solid player, but he's not one of those prolific pass rushers. Outside of that, they don't have much to speak of. And I think the other thing to kind of keep in mind is, you look at their defensive backs right now. I mean, they don't have Darius Slay anymore. They have Trufant, who is still a solid player in his own right. It looks like Jeff Okuda, their third overall pick from this last year's draft, isn't even going to start the season as one of their starting corners. There's definitely a lot of questions there. I think it's one of those situations for the Bears, especially when you look at the quarterback competition and how it all worked out. I mean, this is really going to be a big determining factor moving forward, what we're going to see from Trubisky. Because if Trubisky comes out and struggles against a team that he's played pretty well against, especially the last 2 years under Nagy, then there's clearly some issues. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of change. I know a lot of people put in stock to different coordinators, different coaches. But again, when your head coach is, I mean, that's kind of his thing. I mean, that's Matt Patricia's thing. He's a defensive coach. I still think that he's going to have quite the hand in the defensive calls and the overall coordination of what's going on. And I just don't see that changing much. So hopefully for Bears fans, I hope that means good things for Trubisky and, you know, at least get off to a good start, because these first few games on the schedule are pretty winnable. And especially looking at that second half, I mean, they need to get off to a good start.
Yeah, Detroit and then home against the Giants and then at Atlanta, all teams that were under 500 last year. And the Giants were a 4-12 team. The Lions a 3-12 team. Aaron, are the Bears going to be good this year?
That is something I've been wondering, the same thing. I don't know how you feel, but it's one of those. I feel like 8-8 before. Now, I've seen projections where, you know, you got people 3-13, 4-12. I think it would take catastrophic injury, especially on the defensive side. And that's the thing, I think a lot of people are focusing on how bad the quarterback situation is, which I'm not going to debate. But at the same time, they still have a very, very good defense. I don't know if it's going to be elite like 2018, but I think it's going to be better than 2019, especially with the pass rush and as long as health stays. It's one of those situations I think a lot of it's going to come down to, and it's not just the quarterback situation when you look at offense, obviously. I mean, you got the offensive line that needs to improve, the run game that needs to improve, the overall scheme and play calling that needs to improve. There's still a lot of improvements that can be made, even if the quarterback situation is somewhat similar. I mean, when you look at it, especially what we got from Trubisky last year, I mean, we all saw it. I think at this point in time, it's going to be really hard to be much worse than it was last year. But I think if you can improve other aspects of the game, especially the run game, and I think that's pretty much what they tried doing, bringing in Juan Castillo and the different offensive coaches that they brought in, is kind of going more back to the Andy Reid coaching tree style instead of going away with what they had in Harry Heistand and Helfrich, where there was no real familiarity there. I think that that's going to be big. And, you know, they didn't change much on the offensive line. They didn't change much, if anything, in the running back room. You know, from the offensive standpoint, outside of tight end and a little bit of movement at receiver and Nick Foles, they didn't really change much on the offense. So I think a lot of this is going to come down to how much the coaching changes have made and how much of an improvement they can make, not just outside of quarterback, but in the other areas that are really going to help them improve. Because if they can be even a top 20 offense, I think with the defense, as long as they stay healthy, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to think that, you know, to say that they can win probably 9-10 games. And especially with the extra wild card spot this year, I mean, they would have been right on the outside looking in last year, right behind the Rams at 8-8. I mean, a few more games go their way this year, and it, you know, they could be in the playoffs. I'm not saying that they will, but I don't think they're going to be as bad as most people think they are. But I don't know how good or how high this ceiling could be for this team, especially with the way the offense has played the last two seasons.
Talking with Aaron Lemming, he writes Bear Report for CBS Sports. We're talking Bears, Lions on the score. I think Matt Nagy has failed his quarterback in many ways. I don't think he's put him in a position to succeed. In fact, he put him in a position to fail by trying to make him a pocket quarterback and also not running the ball. Because the thing that Matt Nagy refuses to embrace is the boringness of running the ball. Matt Nagy has a whole bunch of pretty shiny plays in his notebook, and he wants to run them all and have a quarterback do that, and you can do that from the pocket, and he just loves himself all of those imaginative plays. If he ever learns to run the ball, then he makes his quarterback better, and he makes his defense better, and that defense is going to have to score. And the way it looks this year, what is the likelihood that Matt Nagy embraces some kind of basic fundamental football of allowing his quarterback to look better by not forcing him to quarterback in every situation?
Well, that's a good question, because I think you look at it, and especially with the coaching ads that they had, Juan Castillo being one of them, I think the big thing there, especially, I mean, even looking at 2018, 2019 with Harry Heastand and Mark Helfrich, they were the ones designing the run game. And now you bring in Juan Castillo, you bring in John DeFilippo, you bring in Bill Lazor, you're kind of going back again to more of the Andy Reid coaching tree style that Matt Nagy probably should have had in the first place. And I think the big key there, like you pointed out, is not making Trubisky a pocket pass. And obviously the quarterback situation is going to be fluid, and that's going to be something that's interesting to watch. But with Trubisky as a quarterback, they are very well set up to go inside zone, because especially with Trubisky's athleticism, if you get him out of the pocket, if you make him a threat to run, the RPOs and just his running ability as a whole, that's a whole other element to the offense. So I absolutely agree that's going to be a big factor, and that's something that they need to work on. I think for me, more than anything, is maybe not so much Nagy's commitment to the run. Is it more is the scheme that he's been calling and just the overall predictability. I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, you can go back multiple times last year. I think we could probably all agree with this, where there were plays where you knew exactly what they were doing. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run it right up the gut. And the problem is sometimes you have to be able to disguise things better. And I think that's been a big issue with Matt Nagy. I mean, even going back to Kansas City in those eight games that he called as well. I mean, there's just a lot of different intricacies to the run game that I don't know if he doesn't understand, that he doesn't want to understand, that he just doesn't care for. But that's going to be big because, again, there's different aspects to this offense that can improve. And it doesn't just all rely on the quarterback at this point. I mean, if the quarterback plays going to be bad, that's fine. But look at the Jacksonville Jaguars from a few years ago. They had Blake Bortles as a quarterback, and they were still able to get all the way to the AFC Championship game, almost got to a Super Bowl, running the ball and having good defense. And it's one of those things that, again, obviously they have to have a good quarterback, but they can do a lot of other things that can help this team, and especially the offense out, just strictly from the run game and from a blocking scheme as a whole. And part of that, I think, is play calling, not just running the ball and staying consistent with running the ball, but just the predictability in which they do so.
I'm looking at on Twitter right now, guys, and on Twitter, Allen Robinson is trending, and I click to see why, and it's because the Rams and wide receiver Cooper Kupp are finalizing a three-year extension that ties him to Los Angeles through the 2023 season. We've seen other extensions handed out. There's not one in place as of yet for Allen Robinson. Certainly hasn't been ruled out as of yet. But Aaron, what do you think about that situation and Allen Robinson's long-term prospects with the Bears? And in essence, their best offensive player. Well, he is their best offensive player.
Well, I think Ryan Pace is making a big mistake. Obviously, there's still some time. I mean, Nakeem Hicks a few years back signed a deal on the eve of what was it, basically a Saturday before the season. I don't know that's very likely to happen. And the problem is, as we've seen, sometimes waiting a year longer to get something done or waiting until after the season is a recipe for disaster. And I understand the cap situation's kind of questionable. But just look at what the Bears did this year in terms of their free agent signings and how they approach this offseason. I mean, in a lot of ways, outside of the quarterback situation, they kind of went with a win-now mentality. I mean, look at Robert Quinn and Jimmy Graham. I mean, those two signings, those are not signings that Ryan Pace makes in years past. So it sends a mixed message, like you pointed out. I mean, Allen Robinson's their best offensive player. I mean, I don't care what happens with the quarterback situation this year, whether Trubisky figures it out, whether Nick Foles, you know, carries him on a magical Super Bowl run and he wins a Super Bowl and he's still controllable, or if they have to draft another quarterback next year, you still need receivers and you still need a guy like Allen Robinson. It's like, I know a lot of people look at Allen Robinson and say, ah, he's good, but he's not that good. But it's like, when you look at the quarterbacks that he's played with, Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky, that's been his career, and somehow he's been able to hang multiple 1,000-yard seasons in his career. I mean, that speaks a lot. And I don't know. Like I said, I think Ryan Pace is making a big mistake here, and you're not only allowing the market to set for another year, but like you pointed out, Cooper Kupp signed a deal, Keenan Allen signed a deal. Look at some of the running backs that are getting money right now. I mean, Dalvin Cook signed a deal today. Alvin Kamara. You know, it doesn't set a good precedent. And what I will say is this. I mean, Allen Robinson can say whatever he wants in these press conferences, but these subtweets that he's saying that he's tweeting at other people, it's clearly at the Bears organization right now. I don't think there's any question behind that. And I mean, he has every right to feel the way that he felt, because he has outplayed his contract. He's a valuable member of this team. And, you know, frankly, they need to get something done, because not only is he going to be a free agent after this year, but the same thing goes with Tariq Cohen. I mean, they have multiple offensive weapons that are not under contract going into 2021. Granted, obviously, they can tag Allen Robinson, but that doesn't help them next year in terms of cap, and that also doesn't help make the player any happier. So I think Ryan Pace needs to try to figure out something, but I don't think it's going to happen before the season starts.
Talking with Aaron Lemmy, he writes Bear Report for CBS Sports. The Bears defense, on paper, you mentioned Robert Quinn earlier on signing Robert Quinn. And on paper, when they signed Robert Quinn, the Bears defense was, oh my God, everybody's talking it up. Look at this. This may be best in the league, certainly top five. But as we watch them go into game one, Akeem Hicks is back, assuming he's going to be Akeem Hicks. Khalil Mack is back, assuming he's going to be Khalil Mack and a motivated Khalil Mack. But Eddie Goldman's not there, and he's opted out. Robert Quinn is now hurt. Roquan Smith appears to be back, and you assume he's going to be healthy. There's a rookie at cornerback. There's a rookie at safety. But on the other hand, Eddie Jackson is back to playing the position that allowed him to steal touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. So given the week-to-week health and situation of the Bears, what does the Bears defense look like to you going into tomorrow?
I think the Bears defense is still looking really good. Obviously, it doesn't look like, unless something changes and Matt Nagy's playing games with everybody, which who knows at this point, that could happen. It doesn't look like Robert Quinn's going to play tomorrow, and obviously that's a disappointment. But I think when you look at what they have in overall depth outside of probably inside linebacker and maybe corner, just because I don't know how they're comfortable going a rookie and Duke Shelley as their primary depth at corner. But I think when you look at their overall talent, I mean, when you're looking at Akeem Hicks, and even without Eddie Goldman, and still got Bilal Nichols, Warren Robertson Harris, obviously you pointed out Khalil Mack. I mean, there's a lot of talent. I mean, obviously there's more questions in the defensive backfield than maybe there has been, but I think that's kind of a product of looking at what the Bears have done over the last few years. And when you produce some of the talent that they've produced in terms of Adrian Amos, Bryce Callahan, names like that, where you can't sign everybody, right? You can't pay your eighth or ninth, most important defensive player, $7, $8, $9 million a year. It just can't happen that way. But I think, especially when you look at corner, I think with Jalen Johnson, Prince Amukamara really wasn't that good last year. And I know a lot of people really like to criticize Buster Screen, which really makes no sense to me. But both Amukamara and Fuller had down years last year. When you look at their numbers, and especially with Fuller, it's one of those situations where those are the improvements that you need to see. You need to see a guy like Eddie Jackson become more of a playmaker again. You need to see Kyle Fuller become more of that lockdown corner again. But I think in terms of what you're looking at, especially even at safety, I think they have more than enough depth, and I think they have more than enough top-end talent, where I think the big issue for them last year in their dip was just the lack of pass rush. And Khalil Mack was getting double and triple teamed, just didn't look like the same player. Akeem Hicks was out. Outside of Leonard Floyd's three sacks on the edge, they really didn't have much there. So I think adding more depth there and getting more pass rush is going to be huge, because even if you have a rookie DB back there at corner, I think obviously getting to the passer and having Akeem Hicks there, and hopefully Robert Quinn will come back within the next week or two, I think that's going to help them out a lot. Because, I mean, that was the big difference between what we saw with Vic Fangio's defense in 2018 and last year's defense with Chuck Pagano in 2019 was the pass rush. I mean, the sacks, I think it was, what, a 19-sack difference between the 2 years, and we saw them go from a very dominant defense that didn't allow a lot to more of a bend-don't-break defense, and that's just something that the Bears really can't afford, especially with all the questions on the offensive side of the ball.
But back to your antagonizing of the Detroit Lions. What is the nastiest thing somebody said to you throughout this process?
Oh, man. There's been a lot. You know, and I've had to get a lot better about just muting. Oh, man. Honestly,
has it gotten personal? It's probably gotten personal, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's gotten personal. Yeah. Well, yes. Here's the thing. You know, I'm 6'8". I'm 205 pounds. I had acne when I was a kid. Okay. You know, like, you can attack my looks. That's probably been about the best that somebody's been able to do. I think there was, I'm trying to think. There was something pretty egregious, and I think I had to put it out of my mind, and that just earned a block. But no, it's gotten personal a few times, but for the most part, I mean, it's been more of like, oh, you're an idiot, you don't know football. That's fine. You know, again, it's all in good fun. Right. There's been some interesting things, but there's probably been a few things that aren't repeatable on air, so I'll go ahead and leave those ones out of it. But yeah, I think it's mainly, you know, it's just people getting weird and, you know, making random personal attacks, but nothing too crazy.
Dude, I had no idea you were 6'8". I only know you through our Twitter exchanges, and I didn't know you were that tall of a man.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's like I'm used to being looked at everywhere. You know, I walk through a store, my girlfriend has noticed this countless times over the last few months of just walking through different places. It's like, people, every day somebody's got to say something. So you get used to it, you know. You almost kind of become the mascot walking around the stores and everywhere else, you know. It's you're gonna have to do
Tall is good. Tall is good. I don't know where they got you on the tall thing. I wish I was 6'8".
Yeah, well, you know, it is. Like I said, it's more of I'm just used to being the one that's always, you know, looked at and always had not even bad things.
Okay.
Just, you know, hey, you know how tall you are? It's like, yeah, I'm fully aware. I've gotten to the point now over the years where it's like somebody will open their mouths to ask me how tall I am, and I just blurted out 6'8", and then that's it. You know, it's just you get used to it.
All right.
Do you find it remarkable that Lions Twitter is as loud as it can be for a franchise that has not only never won a Super Bowl, but never even gotten there? I don't know where they go with this. It has to be personal because it can't be any professional accomplishment. Not that the Bears is much better, but one is better than none. That's by the way I count it.
It's the tallest midget syndrome, right? It's one of those situations where out of every team in the NFL, maybe the Browns, I don't know, but even the Browns have a little bit better history than the Lions. It's like when the Lions haven't even won the NFC North, I mean, they haven't even won the NFC North, and you go back to the last time that they even won a playoff game, which was 91, they haven't even appeared in a Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, and that's kind of the thing. Like, it's such an easy thing. You kind of look at it with a lot of these guys and it's like, what are you even saying right now? It's so much fun and it's such an easy target because it's like if the Packers fans come after you, it's like, what are you really going to say? You know, and the Vikings, obviously there's a little bit more of a competition there and there's things that can be said back and forth. But with the Lions, I mean, all they can hold on to is, you know, that they had the one good run when the Bears were rebuilding when they were, what were they, like 7-1 or whatever, maybe 8-0, and they donned the tag, we own the Bears, and that's been it. But, I mean, that was 2 years ago. The Bears are 4-0 since that point. And, I mean, the reality is at least nobody's Lions fans. And, again, they still have Matt Patricia as the head coach. And I think that's really the bigger issue. I actually like a lot of the talent that the Lions have. I mean, I really like Matthew Stafford. I thought he's been a really good quarterback in this league for quite a while, but the reality is when you force Barry Sanders into early retirement and you force Calvin Johnson into early retirement and you're the first 0-16 team in the history of the NFL, you have no room to talk about anything. And that's kind of my stance on it.
All righty then. Aaron, thank you for your time. It's great having you on. We look forward to having you on, you and your 6'8 self on throughout the season if we can work it out.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you guys want me, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. That's Aaron Lemming. He writes the Bear Report for CBS Sports. It was great. 6'8", 205. He's floss. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's dental floss.
As Peoria Matt tweets, as Peoria Matt texts us, why isn't Aaron playing tight end for the Bears? I think it's the 205 factor. I don't know that 205 works with that particular frame.
Yeah, but that just means that – you know, you got somebody like Bilal Nichols can hold him up, grab him by the legs, hold him up, and then you can block field goals that way. It's just easy enough to lift him that way. That's the way
That's
I imagine
true.
That
and Adam
in.
Shaheen was about a good 6'7" or so.
He was nothing good about Adam Shaheen. Nothing.
Oh, that's
right. Don't use the word good anywhere in the vicinity of Adam Shaheen.
Sorry about that.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenman. We're talking about Bears-Lions. I want to alert you and update you on this. Before every Bears game, tune in to the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. This Sunday, the pregame show starts at 9 a.m. That is right here on The Score. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know what? The White Sox, they were sort of the opposite of the Cubs last night. They weren't getting the pitching they expected, not the pitching the Cubs got, but they found a guy who could hit a ball and doesn't necessarily need to be a strike. It's not going to stay in the ballpark. It was really a thing last night. We'll talk about that next. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Eloy hits it high in the air, deep left field, way up and out of here. Bring him home and bring the Sox a three-run home run. Give the lead 4-3. Hi, Mom!
Jason Benetti on the call. NBC Sports Chicago. Taking the Sox from a two-run deficit to a one-run lead on a pitch that was, as Steve Stone likes to say, looked like a face-high fastball, and there's no ball that is safe from Eloy Jimenez. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum here, Mark Grody over there. We are broadcasting live from Hyundai Studios, brought in our palatial suites, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, that clutch home run by Jimenez was just, it was such a thing. It was a ridiculous pitch. It was a Vlad Guerrero thing. It was, how dare you think you can get this by me, or that I won't swing at it, and that I'll show you a launch angle. And it just, it was a remarkable thing at a most critical time. It was a kind of win because, from my standpoint, Giolito wasn't the Cy Young candidate. And while Dallas Keuchel's out, now I've got serious questions about, all right, I want to consider them a contender. They are a contender. Their record tells you that. Their offense tells you that. Their pitching told you that. But if Dallas Keuchel's back isn't better and Giolito's not going to be the gimme that you need, and then Cease and Dunning, nice young talents, like watching what Lucas Giolito was doing, then they're getting no hit, and then all of a sudden everything changes. That was what was so important for me last night. Just a different way. The offense came through, but under different circumstances. What were you thinking as you're going through?
Well, first of all, as you're going through the pitchers, Steve, I don't know if you know this or not, but the White Sox have their stopper going today, Ronaldo Lopez, as in stops momentum for the White Sox. He scheduled a pitch today.
He's trying to ignore that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to ignore it, Mark. Don't. So, talk about Saturday suckage. We have done nothing. We try to suck so he doesn't have to, but he just keeps. And the worst thing is he's not coming back here. He's not back here starting today or tonight because he was any good. It's because of injury. It's because of what's necessary. And that's the wrong reason that guy should be brought back. So thanks.
Yeah, but as for Lucas last night, so I'm going to zero in on that sixth inning. And I don't know, man. Like, it was a cool night last night, and I don't know if Lucas Giolito sweats that much all the time, but he was like John Lester buckets, like with the sweat dripping off the rim
of his
cap.
It was the Joe Borowski game.
Oh, yes. Sweaty Joe, yes. That's very good. Good pull by you. But he was just, like, you could almost sense the exhaustion out there in the sixth inning. Ricky Renteria left him out there. He got the two outs, and then it was Daz of the Camerons, Mike Cameron's son, who comes up with that two-run single. So, you know, with two outs and two strikes, no less. So he almost escaped with one run on his watch over 5 2/3 and said it was 3 runs, but he was maximum effort last night. We haven't seen that a lot from Giolito, who usually makes it look a little bit easier. As for the Aloy home run, first thing I'll say, and I'll go back to the pitching on this one, it's so nice when you get a comeback 3-run homer like that. You take a 1-run lead, and then you hold that 1-run lead because that is so fragile. Evan Marshall was good. Colome makes you nervous, but he was good enough in the ninth inning. Here's the unique thing about that Aloy Jimenez home run. I don't remember the last time that the White Sox hit a home run where I didn't jump out of my seat saying, "Oh my God, that's 500 feet!" It was actually a 370-foot home run. How rare has it been this year when the White Sox have just cleared the walls in home runs? It barely happened. You know what I mean? Like, almost all of their home runs are just jacks. And Aloy's was just a simple 370-foot home run that he hit out on a bad pitch.
And brought the Sox from 2 runs down to a run up, and then, like you said, they protected it. The idea of... You know, I guess not until you described it the way you described it regarding all the schwitzing Lucas Giolito.
The schwitzing.
Makes me wonder, that's what would happen if somebody had a fever, if somebody were overheating.
Oh.
And which is really a bad thing to think of in this current environment.
Are you short of breath, Lucas?
Yeah, right. Can you wake up and smell? You know, waking up and smell the coffee has a whole different meaning now. If you can actually wake up and smell it, you've passed one test. If you can taste it, you passed the next test. So that has a whole different, more important meaning than just like wake up and do a radio show. Wake up and smell the coffee is important. But until you were talking, I hadn't really thought of it that way, that maybe it's a function, it's a sign of something that, it's something I don't want to think about, but I just did. You made me think of something very Debbie Downer, Mark.
But I like schwitzing. That's a funny word to me. You're all over
Yiddish.
That's Yiddish. Yeah, you're all over the Yiddish slang today, man. You're going schwitzing. What do you call Mitch? What's Mitch?
Spilkes. Spilkes, because it's an inability to stop moving. He's got his legs going, he's got his knee going, or he's got his foot going. He's got his shoulders going, his elbows going. Spilkes is somebody who's nervous, can't sit still. And I was looking up because we had discussed my use of the word schmuck earlier to describe Fox Sports and the NFL for this rule that is keeping Kenny Albert out of Detroit to do Bears Lions, because he has been in Edmonton calling the Stanley Cup playoffs. He's been in the NHL bubble. Canada reported 0 deaths from COVID-19 yesterday. But the Fox schmucks and the NFL schmucks in their infinite wisdom said, no, if you come from a foreign country, you can't do anything in this country without quarantining for 2 weeks. So if you come from a safer country to one that has 191,000 deaths, you're just going to have to sit this one out. So Bears fans are going to get Dick Stockton. And I was reminded by my former editor, Mike Kellums, at the Tribune, that when Dick Stockton was calling Cubs playoff games on TBS and was mistake-prone years back, Kellums started the famed Stocktionary. Every misspeak was cataloged and was put in the paper the next day or the one after. And the man who created the Stocktionary, Mike Kellums, would later find out that Dick Stockton himself was not real happy with that. And our response is, don't make mistakes. You're paid to talk for a living. You're paid to get names correct for a living. Then you should do that. But we were running a Stocktionary with every mistake. So I would encourage fans who have who will make the mistake of listening to the TV broadcast instead of syncing it up with WBBM tomorrow to catalog the mistakes. I would like to know how much we can increase the Stocktionary.
3-run homer for Adolfo Soriano.
Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. Thank you, Julio.
And that's like 10 years ago.
Right, but that's... And now he's 77 years old and flying him from Arizona to Detroit, because Arizona is just... such an example of COVID protectiveness, and they're flying him to Detroit because it's a better deal than flying a guy from a country where they just reported no COVID deaths. Oh my God! And so that's why the word schmuck came up. It's just complete idiot move. So I was looking up. Leo Rostin wrote the book The Joys of Yiddish, and it's a wonderful book, and it's just about what you think it is and how the playfulness of the Yiddish language and what it means, and it sounds so good. And there are other words that describe being an idiot the way schmuck, but it's in a different version, like schlemiel and schlemazel. So schlemiel is a person who always spills the soup.
Oh,
and
really?
And the schlemazel is the person on whom he spills it. That's. And the schmuck is the guy who has to clean up the spill. So I'm trying to connect all the dots for you here in this Yinglish radio show that we're doing.
I don't know why this is tickling me. What is the word when, like, in Yiddish, when you're buddies? When you're a good person. When you're like a, Mitch always says this to
mensch.
Me. Like, mensch!
A mensch.
That's not as funny as the word, though. Yeah.
M-E-N-S-E-H, no. It's especially the C-K words like schmuck, it ends. That's funny. It was in the, why can't I think of the old man buddy movie, The Sunshine Boys. They were talking about that, what's funny. And there was a throwaway line about the C-K word. Those are funny words.
They are funny words.
Yeah,
they are funny words. My real quick like story. So I'm Catholic, Christian. My uncle Harold married a Jewish woman. So the kids were raised Jewish. So I have Jewish cousins. And years ago, we went to my cousin Jennifer, her bat mitzvah. And my uncle Harold, Christian, not knowing much about Judaism, told my brother Paul that when you give the speech, because he was asked to give a speech, he said, you know, look, just get out there and just say words like schmuck and things like that. They'll completely buy it.
That's it.
So yeah. So I've been raised. I know a little bit of Yiddish, but I really like it when you say it. So
no, I'm just well. It just seemed appropriate, and we had a. A question from a texter, our text line, the tech zone, as it is known, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Somebody tweeted, from the 815, of course, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. Sure, whatever that means, but that's perfect. But 219, are you sure that it's Kenny Albert can't get back to Canada to finish hockey if he goes to Detroit to do the football game? Well, all of the reporting so far this morning says that the Fox Sports and the NFL made the decision because their rules were if you come from a foreign country, you have to quarantine for 14 days. That's what we're basing this discussion on. It makes sense that Kenny Albert would have to, Canada, which actually is handling this thing in a smart way, would make him quarantine. I don't know what the rules would be, but in reading how Kenny Albert and John Vilma and Shannon Spake and the broadcast crew would do it in Detroit, get in there, that separate rental cars and plexiglass separated in the booths and whatever, it doesn't sound like it would be enough to convince Canada that Kenny Albert should be allowed back in to do it. And the other option is that Kenny Albert doesn't do any more hockey games. Football season's here and it's just Doc from here on out, or John Forslund. They have enough announcers that if Kenny were to go do the NFL, that would be that. He would be doing the NFL. I'm just saying, based on that's all the reporting we've seen says Kenny Albert was banned by was told no by the NFL and Fox. And why would it happen to be on Saturday? Why wouldn't this have been anticipated?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought of that, but this is all just more reason, more fuel to turn on News Radio 780 WBBM at 105.9 FM with Jonesy, Jeff Joniak, and Tom Thayer bringing it to you like they do. This is the This is the 20th year. And me, Joniak, is it? Can you believe this, man?
No.
He's in his 20th year. 20th year of calling Bears games. That's crazy, isn't it? Yes.
You know, I'm stunned. I remember when he first...
Yes.
20 years ago.
It feels like yesterday, doesn't it? It really does.
One thing jumps out was when he had done 1, 2, 3 games. I can't remember if it was preseason or regular season, and happened to see him up at Hallis Hall, and he goes, so what do you think? I mean, he's earnestly interested. What do you think? You've heard a lot of people. You've been around. What do you think? I want to know. And he asked it earnestly, and I said what I said and told him what I thought, and I just thought, and that is so vivid, it can't be 20 years. It's not.
Right.
I mean, next year his career will be old enough to drink.
That's right. And you know what? Our friend Tom Thayers is old enough to drink. Actually, this is his 24th year, Tom Thayer, because he was
really
there for a couple of years prior. Yeah, he must have been with Wayne Larrivee for a year and then Gary Bender for at least a year or two or whatever, however long that tenure lasted, and then with Joniak. So, yeah, Tom Thayer has been doing it for 20. This will be his 24th year. Crazy.
Wow. Okay.
24.
We had people ask, Julio, you have to get on this. We may need Shane to put his meat down and talk to us, but we had several people on the Twitter machine ask how, because when they heard about the whole Dick Stockton thing and the resumption of the Stocktionary here in Chicago, they wanted to know how they could sync their televisions, the radio to the TV. And I know there's a way you can do it, but I don't know it. I know there is a way, someone smarter, more technologically sound than me, more knowledgeable, and that would have to be Shane. So we do have time next hour. We'll talk with Evan Altman at the top of the hour about the Cubs, but I would like to help these people out because we're givers, not takers here on Saturday Suckage. We're trying to help them, and if you can avoid Dick Stockton, that would be a good thing. And to
Cody Parker.
Just Stocktionary was a thing in the Tribune, and it still lives. And then to put a bow on this whole thing, that how we got to this point, I don't know. But the 219 texter who asked the question about Kenny Albert when I explained what we were basing it on and how we were working this, the 219 texter came back with, okay, then I'm just a schmuck. And there you go. There
Perfect.
You go. That's the way we do it here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with who knows. We had Schwantz on the show. We've discussed Schmuck, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, and Spilkes, and maybe Spilkes will have some information on how you can sync your TVs. That's the way we work on Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The Bears' tackling today has been mediocre at best.
Show us your broadcast. Dick Stockton, the man who runs the Stocktionary, the man who is, no, he's the source of the Stocktionary, and Mike Kellums and we at the Tribune were running when he was doing baseball and Adolfo Soriano. And you know what? I have to apologize. There are a lot of texters, Mark, who are telling me that I completely missed it. And I did when we were talking about Schlemiel and Schlemazel.
Yeah.
Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated was the Laverne
and Shirley.
I did upon reflection, and then, oh, yeah, that's where it was. But I'm thinking of getting to the Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Schmuck, you know, connecting all the dots.
Right, and that's the only place that I know that from, so that's what I assumed you were going with. We have on the Rosie and Grody show, that is the breaking call sounder.
Wow. Oh, my
goodness.
We
have a breaking phone call. Julio, what do we have?
We don't have Julio.
Julio. Oh, it's Julio. It's been removed.
Julio.
We've
got Bob, a good friend of mine, checking in.
Well, they really
Julio,
did mute
which
Julio.
Tin can are you talking into through a string, Julio?
Oh, there.
Julio, what kind of an operation are you running back there, man?
Well, it's Saturday Suckage, so I thought I'd do it right.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Bob checks in from the north side, and our friend Bob is on the score.
All right. Hi, Bob.
Hey,
How's it going, guys?
Good, Bob. Hey, Bob. What do you got? What's up, Bob? What do you got for us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, better than we can hear Julio. Can you hear us, Bob?
We don't want to hear Julio, though.
Yeah. I apologize. Anyway, I called in because I heard you guys talking about having a radio that could sync up with a TV broadcast. And I mentioned to Julio that back in 2016, me and my buddy wanted a radio that could do exactly that. We found one on Amazon.com, and it allows us to go 15 seconds slower to sync up, or as much as 15 seconds faster to sync up. And so we were able to sync it up to where we could listen to your broadcast, meaning Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, in sync with the TV broadcast. So the technology does exist. I can tell you that right now. My buddy still has the radio, and we still use it to listen to Cub games on the Score while watching them on TV.
Okay, Bob,
that's a great idea.
I thought that you could just do – couldn't you just turn – I mean, using that theory, you could just turn on your television and try to hit the slow down – the stop DVR, use the DVR. Yeah,
pause.
Right, and start it, and you can come pretty close, turn on the radio. But I thought there was some kind of device that married the two, and you press one button, and it's all sunk. So I don't know.
You know what's funny is I have so many new devices. That is a real effect of COVID-19 and the pandemic is I have so many new apps on my phone for the broadcast that we are doing to sync things up. I have now a recording app on my phone that I can record interviews. It's just it's just crazy, all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, the simplest way to do it, yes, for Cubs games here on the Score or Bears game on WBBM, just hit your pause on your DVR real quick, like, and you're good to go. But, Bob, I appreciate Bob calling.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was a device that will do that. We tried it. Well, if Shane puts down his meat, maybe he's got an answer. In the meantime, we'll take a break. And we'll discuss the Cubs. There was something good that came out of yesterday's.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.